Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord. Darkness seems to hide its face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life, your busy schedule, to join me on the broadcast this morning. Well, finally, it has looked like we have escaped the Arctic refrigerator, and it is spring-like weather here in Florissant in the 60s today. I'm telling you, it has been a rough winter here, and I think we have turned the corner to say, finally, goodbye to old man winter. On here, the Thursday edition of The Cross in the Desert, we have been doing a very rich and attractive study in Jesus' teaching on the Beatitudes, as it's called, from His teaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And I just want to take a couple of minutes to do a quick review for those of you that are just joining us and haven't had an opportunity to follow closely with the study. The Sermon on the Mount is all about the key to righteous living, to true happiness found in the life-transforming teachings and words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And He has gathered together a crowd of His own disciples and others outside of His circle of discipleship, and they've gathered on a place called the Mount of Olives, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus did a lot of His quality teaching. He also taught there right before His crucifixion. And He has gathered this crowd of people together to talk about issues that impact them in their life. And He is using this opportunity to correct a lot of the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees who have corrupted the law of God. We saw in our first week that Jesus is saying, for those of you who want to be fulfilled, to be happy, to be blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we discovered that what Jesus was talking about in this first beatitude was recognizing our spiritual poverty, that we are people that have broken God's law. And as a result, we are estranged and we live apart from God. And that the only way back is to recognize our spiritual poverty so we can find hope in Christ. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We discovered how these Beatitudes, each of them, are like pearls on a string. They're all linked together. So for those that are poor in spirit and recognize that they have spiritual poverty, that the way that we follow closely what Christ is saying is that we mourn over our sin. Instead of rejoicing in iniquity, instead of rejoicing in the sins of the culture around us, we are to be those that mourn over sin, that we are grieved by those lawbreakers in our culture that have a disregard for God's law. And then for those that are poor in spirit and they recognize that they need to mourn over sin, that we need to also be meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So Christ here is teaching consecutively. Poor in spirit results in mourning over sin. And when we recognize we need to be humble before a holy God, that we are gentle in our behavior towards other people, that for those people that are meek, you are blessed and you will inherit the earth. And so Christ is teaching us something about what it looks like to be a true follower of him. Or we could say it another way, these are characteristics of those that are true Christians. Now this morning, we take on Beatitude number 4. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. This particular beatitude is talking directly about our spiritual appetite. And the scripture that corresponds with this one is found in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus replied to those that were followers of him, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So Jesus is appealing to our moral nature, to our ethical nature, and he's using our appetite for food to make a point. He is saying, "I'm the bread of life. If I am what you are hungering and thirsting after, then you will never again have a spiritual hunger, and you will never again have a spiritual thirst, because you will be satisfied in me." So Jesus is talking about finding hope and satisfaction in him. Now, hungering and thirsting here is a great illustration. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. Because as water and food is to the body, so righteousness is to the spiritual life. The word righteousness here has moral and ethical implications. It is talking about, in this context, a lifestyle, a specific lifestyle of following after God. We as humans, we hunger and thirst not only for food, but for satisfaction in life. And because of that, we search in so many different areas to be filled, to be satisfied. But because of that, our culture ends up always falling short, because they're looking for truth. They're looking for spiritual satisfaction in all the wrong places. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11 said, "He has made everything beautiful in its time, as he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." Bible teacher and theologian John Piper says, "God has put eternity in our hearts, and we have an inconsolable longing Blaise Pascal, the great French philosopher, said that all of us have a God-shaped void in our lives. So what that means is all men are hungry and thirsty. The problem is that we try to fill that emptiness, that hunger, with other things other than the righteousness of God. And so the Bible invites us to find our satisfaction in Him. Ho, everyone who thirsts comes to the water, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 2. Again, our culture, Jeremiah warns us about this insatiable appetite for what is wrong. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. This is very powerful. We are spending our money on things that do not satisfy. We are drinking from cisterns that hold no water. Our satisfaction is not being met in the things of this world. We try to satisfy ourselves with money and power, education, sex, pornography, boyfriends, girlfriends, toys, and earthly possessions that allow us fun and entertainment for a time. Yet all of these things lead to a deeper sense of need, a deeper longing for satisfaction, because they do not fill that need. C.S. Lewis, the great Oxford scholar, the writer of the Chronicles of Narnia, a great apologist, said this: we are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when finite, infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea, we are far too easily pleased. That's a powerful quote. We human beings are way too easily pleased. We fool around with so many things that do not satisfy, that do not and cannot fill the void and emptiness in our heart. And so that's why Jesus is saying here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, let me point out something to you. At the time that Jesus taught this, there was a group of the theologians, the religious experts of the day, known as the Pharisees and scribes, and they looked so pure and so holy on the outside. And Jesus warned his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me explain. The righteousness that all of us needs to stand before a holy God in a right relationship is a perfect righteousness. Now, we all fall so short of God's perfection. And so there is a righteousness that the gospel offers to us as a free gift. It's an imputed, perfect righteousness that is something that we can get freely. It's not anything we can earn. We can never keep God's law perfectly. And so Christ is our perfect righteousness, that when we come to faith in Christ, He clothes us. He puts on a garment of His perfect righteousness to give us the opportunity to stand before a holy God, clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. Now, there was a group I mentioned that pretended to have this perfect righteousness, but they were actually hypocrites. It was the religious leaders who were outwardly righteousness, outwardly, but inwardly, Jesus pointed out, they were corrupt. They looked and seed. They had the judgmental attitude. And they look good on the outside, but they're corrupt on the inside. And so what we need is not a false, perfect righteousness, which is given to us by God when we place our hope and faith in Christ. So think of it this way. Jesus is saying, you have a zeal for food and water. All of us humans love certain food. I love spaghetti. I will do almost anything to have a plate of pasta like that in front of me with rich meat sauce. I love the taste of spaghetti. So I have a consuming guy desire for that kind of food. Jesus is saying, take that love of food, now double it and triple it, and have a consuming desire for a lifestyle of following after God. If you hunger and thirst for this type of lifestyle, for this righteousness I've been speaking at, then Christ promises you will be satisfied. Again, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The psalmist in Psalm 63, says this, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And the psalmist is saying, when you hunger and thirst for that relationship with God, you will find it there. You will find it in him because he is your all-sufficiency. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. And so there are examples and teachings throughout Scripture about this hunger and thirsting for God. And the question is, do you have this longing, this passion, this deep sense of need for hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Is this something you cannot live without? For this is what the Bible teaches. Not that we have a righteousness of our own, but a righteousness which is given to us as a gift from God in Christ. And so that's what I want us to remember this morning, that our life is consumed by the pursuit of knowing Christ, that everything else in life is meaninglessness. The Apostle Paul said that in Philippians chapter 3, that even everything that he learned as one of the top Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he knew the law better than most people. He longed to please God, but he was pursuing it in the wrong way. He was trying to maintain this perfected lifestyle apart from the grace of God. He was doing everything but obeying God. In fact, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but the Apostle Paul thought that he was a perfect person, that he maintained God's perfect righteousness. But when he discovered that the purpose of the law was not that we can live by it perfectly, but that the purpose of the law was to reveal our utter depravity and sinfulness, then he discovered how far short he fell in his pursuit. Because the only true righteousness that God accepts is a perfect righteousness, which the Bible says is a gift given to us when we believe in Christ. Again, Christ clothes us in a perfect gift of righteousness so we can stand before a holy God. But again, that is a gift. It is not something we earn by perfect obedience. So what our scripture teaching in this beatitude this morning is saying to us, if you hunger and thirst, if your life is consumed by righteousness, a lifestyle of wanting to serve a holy God, if your life is consumed with a hunger and thirst that can't be satisfied in anything else but Christ, you will be satisfied. I want you to hear this great song by Chris Tomlin that sums up what we're trying to say this morning.
I count my blessings one by one, your goodness in my life. How could I ask for more? In you I'm satisfied. All the mountains that I ascend, they leave me empty time and time again. I fix my eyes on this.
With a song that actually paints perfectly with words and music what this fourth beatitude is all about. I want to give you some concluding thoughts on blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Jesus is very personal here. He never says, come and join the church, or come and be baptized, or come and give money. He simply says, come unto me. When Jesus says you will be filled, he means you will be filled with Jesus himself. So the appeal on this beatitude, if you are hungry, come and eat of the bread of life. If you are thirsty, come and drink of the water of life. If you are weary and heavy laden, come and find rest. If you are guilty, come and be forgiven. If you are far from God, come back home again. We have most of the time full stomachs, but empty hearts. We're like a little child who won't let go of the marble in order to receive a diamond. No, I won't give up my weekend affair for eternal joy. Trade a broken marriage and a failed career for peace and forgiveness? Forget it. Give up my drug addiction and be forgiven of all my sins? No way. You can say I replace my anger and bitterness with peace and contentment. I can't. All of these excuses. No wonder we stay the way we are. We're trapped in a pit of 1,000 excuses. We'd rather have misery and pain than risk it all on Jesus. 1,600 years ago, St. Augustine explained both the problem and the solution. O God, you have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Let me say this, you will never be happy until you put God first in your life, and you can never do that until you surrender your life to Jesus once and for all. Whatever you want, you can have here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So the question again is, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? If you are, this beatitude is a promise for you. This is the promise of God to hungry hearts and thirsty souls. And I hope this morning that through this life-transforming teaching of Christ, that you will find your hope, your satisfaction in Jesus. Culture, humanity will look in every direction for truth. But the Bible says we're looking for truth in all the wrong places. Because Jesus, as Chris Tomlin sang about, he satisfies. He satisfies the desires of our heart. He satisfies the hope and the meaning and the purpose for our life. This morning, I invite you to come to the water and quench your thirst, to come and taste of the bread of life and be satisfied. Jesus has satisfied me, lo, these 40 years, and he is my satisfaction and my joy. And if you're hungry and thirsty this morning, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to say God bless you to all who have stopped by for this teaching on the Beatitude. Monday, I have a very, very special show. My guest will be Naren Nweya, and she is the director for the Middle Eastern Women's Coalition, and we're going to talk about a variety of subjects here on the Cross in the Desert. I wish you to have a great weekend. God bless you, and I will see you again on Monday.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the
Cheers.